God's grace, his mercy, his peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today, let's talk together about Christian worship and why do we worship as we do. Now, to get at that, I'd like to look at it with you in three different ways. First of all, what is true Christian worship for all Christians who truly worship God? Then we'll look at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod briefly, how we Lutherans view worship, and then specifically how we at Christ Lutheran Church worship. Because in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, even though we all pretty much worship the same, we do have some variety and some difference between each congregation based upon each pastor making his own choices for his own preferences. So every church is a little different. Why do we worship at Christ Lutheran Church the way we do? Let's get a better understanding of that today for our hopefully greater blessing and greater encouragement. All right, so first of all, what is worship? Well, to worship in general is to highly exalt something, to treat it as number one, of the highest possible honor, to place it above everything else, to give thanks to it, praise it, run to it, serve it, proclaim its glory, its greatness, to lean upon it in every trouble. It's as if in your hearts you have a throne. Yeah, at least picture it that way. In your heart, there's a throne. Whoever is on the throne of your heart, at the highest possible place where you glory in it, lean upon it in every trouble, run to it, praise it, thank it, trust it, that is your God. Whatever is on the throne of your heart. So a lot of people have a lot of different things on their heart. A lot of different gods that people worship in the world, right? There's gods of other religions. Some people worship a human relationship or a thing as their God. Some people worship money as their God. Whatever's on the throne of your heart is your God. Who do we worship? Who do we worship as Christians? Answer, it's the one true and living God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read about that, what God says in 1 Chronicles 16. It says, "For great is Jehovah, the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be held in awe above all gods." So number one, top place, is Jesus, is God the Father and Jesus in the Spirit. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is God. We're his people, of his pasture, the sheep of his hand." So it's God alone that we worship. And we also read there in Isaiah 43, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. So we worship the one true God as Christians. Why do we worship him? Because he alone is God. Amen? Amen. There is none other. We don't worship men or things or money or demons or angels or anything like that. We worship the one true God because he is the only God. Secondly, because he's the only creator. He stretched forth his hands and made the stars and the sky and created all things by his word of power, which is his son, Jesus Christ, his word in the power of the Spirit. And we worship him also not only because he's the only God and because he's the only creator who made us, but he is also the only Savior. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior, we know in Scripture. Nobody else did anything for our sins. Jesus came, sent by God the Father, to die for our sins, set us free. Therefore, we worship him and him alone, and it's our joy to come together in a joyful relationship. Amen? Amen. To worship God, and that's what worship really is us coming to God for the joyful relationship to render him all thanks, praise, trust, glory, credit, praising him, thanking him for all the great things he's done for us and creating us and saving us and being our only God and always there for us and loving us in Jesus Christ. So that's true worship, and that's who we worship, and that's why we worship. Next question. Is there only one way to do that? Well, there's only one right way to worship in an overall sense, as we'll see, but there's all kinds of different varieties, right? You go to different churches, every church is different. There's all kinds of different styles and forms of worship. And there's different kind of categories of worship. You can worship in church on Sunday a particular way, but then you go home, or you go to the Bible study next door, we have a slightly different way of worshiping. And then we go to, you know, out to brunch or something, worship differently there or with our families. And one of my favorites, like we were talking, Shane was saying his favorite thing is to get on a 400-mile drive on one of the highways that's just open in our country because he travels all the time, and just spends all that time in silence with the Lord. And I like to go out into the wilderness and sit in silence, and that's worship. That's beautiful too. But what we're talking about today is corporate worship, Sunday worship. Say Sunday worship.
Sunday worship.
Is there only one way to do that? There's all kinds of ways. We are in freedom as Christians to choose all kinds of different ways. But there are certain things that need to go into true Christian worship. And we can get those principles for true Christian worship, let's say, especially from the Old Testament. Did you know that? The Old Testament had a very specific way to worship God, didn't it?
Yeah.
You can't just do anything you want all over the place, for let's read that. That's like Seinfeld, right? All over the place. Deuteronomy 12. God said when they're going into the land which they were going to possess, the land of Canaan, the promised land, he said, when you get there, you shall destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispossess serve their gods. Upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree, you're going to tear down their altars, dash them in pieces, burn their asherah with fire, and you're going to worship the Lord where, in the place where I choose to place my name. Where is that?
Jerusalem
is the place to worship. Says God, and then he tells them actually how to worship, and this is really cool. I'll give you this here. This is the temple. It's a map. It's a blueprint to the true worship of God. Now, they had their specific ritual, Old Testament, which was a preview of the reality that come to us in Jesus. Let's take a look, though, at how they worship, because God dwelt here in the Holy of Holies over the Ark of the Covenant. You ever seen Indiana Jones? Forget that movie. But this is the real Ark of the Covenant. God dwelt right here in the midst of his people. How do you approach God? Can anybody come in another way? No, you're a thief or a robber. There's one way to approach God. You gotta come through the one door at the entrance to the temple. That's the door down here. One way in. One way only. Then you gotta pass by the place where they would burn the lamb, sacrifice the lamb, and have the burnt sacrifice for it on the altar, or the sacrifice lamb, I should say, his blood, you know, morning and evening. Then you had to come by the laver, which was the washing place for the priests, because if you try to come up here without going to the laver of the water, God will kill you. You don't get in one way. Then you come through the one door again, now into the inner part of the temple, the holy place. Here in this part, behind the curtain, you have the lampstand over here, the golden lampstand, the bread of the presence, then the table of incense for prayer, and then you go behind the final curtain here into the Holy of Holies, where God dwells, where the high priest goes once a year, and not without taking blood here of the sacrificed animal to put upon the altar to atone for the sins of the people. And God says, there I will meet you and forgive all of your sins. That was the Old Testament. You had to do that. Daily things and a yearly once into the holy place, Holy of Holies. Does that make sense? This happened back then, but that was a preview and a map or a blueprint of how true worship is to happen, which has to go into every true Christian's worship. Namely, how do you approach God in the New Testament? This all points to, and I'll say it simply, Jesus. You approach him by Jesus, by the gospel, in accordance with his word. Can you say that with me? Jesus,
yes.
The gospel, in accordance with his word. Because who is the door? Look at this. Jesus says in John 10, I'm the door. If anyone's going to enter by me, you'll be saved. You'll go in and out and find water and pasture. So you got to enter by Jesus and his gospel. And you pass the Lamb. Who is Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus. Then you have the laver, the water. You ever hear of water in a Christian's life?
Yes.
Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. You can't get up to God where he is. But we've been baptized, washed of your sins. You have the right of access as royal priests. Then you go through another door, and remember, Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No man's going to come to the Father except through me. Jesus, 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 he's the door. What about the lampstand? What does Jesus say about himself? John 8, I'm the light of the world. If anyone follows me, he'll not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus, you come by the light of the world, Jesus. The bread. What do you think I'm talking about there? John chapter 6, he who comes to me, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. So you had about Jesus. And then he is the great high priest. The prayers of the saints, the altar of incense. He's the priest who enters the sanctuary, and we're following him in with his blood, right? We have, since he has entered with his own blood, he secured for you, Hebrews 9, an eternal redemption and a way to approach God by, again, Jesus and his gospel in accordance with his word. And what does God say? If you come that way, my prescription, my blueprint, my map, my way, then I will receive you. You will gain joyful access, and there I will meet you, and you will meet me. And that's a joyful, warm embrace. That's what worship is all about, right? A joyful embrace of God. But you got to come the right way, and this is the way. So what is it? Three things. Jesus, you got to come by Jesus, the true gospel, and in accordance with God's word. And then God says, there, then I'll meet you. No matter what your outward form is, if you have a high liturgy, low liturgy, wear a robe, don't wear a robe, none of that really matters. What matters is you come with a true heart and spirit and in truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him. Don't come just for your lips, right? Say things rote, like, oh, here's the liturgy or something. Put your heart into it. If you come with a true heart, we have full assurance of hearts to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. So our worship, every Christian's worship, has to be through Jesus, by the true gospel, according to and with his word. And then God says, I'll receive you, and I'll come and embrace you where you are. Two or three gathered in my name, I'm going to be right there in the midst of you. I'm going to embrace you. You're going to embrace me in joyful relationship, which is what worship is all about. A joyful relationship with our God. Isn't that great? So there is a right way to worship? Yeah. Yes, there is. Is there a wrong way? Mm-hmm. Remember Nadab and Abihu? Mm-hmm. Not a good situation. Don't be them. They tried to enter in here and offer unholy fire before the presence of the Lord. And what happened? God slew them. And they were carried out. And God told Aaron, don't even mourn for them, your sons, because they offered unholy fire. So there's a wrong way to worship. Are there churches today, or at least in visible Christendom, that don't worship rightly? Yeah. What if you try to enter Jesus at the door? Jesus is the door, the only way to heaven. But you say, oh, Jesus is just a way to heaven. He's one of the many ways, but all the other ways are okay too. You're not going to gain access. God will not receive you if you come in by some other Jesus. So be careful of that one. What if you come in with an irreverent attitude like Nadab and Abihu? Just taking it flippantly like a joke. No, there should be a certain, we should worship the Lord with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You're coming before your God and Father in love, but you're also coming before the King. Fear the Lord. I mean, have a holy reverence for him when you come. Should you enter into here with sin on you? I mean, unrepented of? No, I mean, everybody's a sinner. We're going to talk about that. But you don't come in here with self-righteous pride, with sin upon you. I won't receive you. Remember the two men went up into the temple to pray?
Right.
The one that was the Pharisee, I'm so righteous, I'm so holy, isn't it wonderful? God will certainly receive me. Jesus says, he was not received, he was not justified. God did not meet him. But you got to come in with what attitude? A humble heart over the sins that you have for him. And beat upon your breast and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, like the tax collector. And then God says, I will joyfully receive you. That's what all this is for. I know you're sinners. I'm holy. This is the way unholy people get to the holy God. Confess your sins. Come in humility for grace, and I will wash you and embrace you. I'm going to run to you like the prodigal son. I did to the prodigal son. And embrace him, put a robe upon him, and make you bright and joyful with me, and we'll have a joyful relationship. I'll embrace you and you me. So this is what Christian worship is to be about. Are these the hearts and the attitude we come with? Let's take a look at Lutheran worship for a moment. This is the same for all Christians, but there's all different forms, right? I'm wearing a robe, some people wear jeans. Okay? So we have music in the back. Some people have a praise band in the front. You know, there's high liturgy, there's low liturgy. Sometimes there's almost no liturgy. It's a free-for-all type of thing. As long as you come the right way we just talked about, it's all acceptable. We shouldn't remember David was dancing before the Lord, and Michael looked out and said, oh, how the king has despised himself today in front of the maidens of Israel. And David says, I was dancing before the Lord as prince whom God set up instead of your father. It was before the Lord that I was dancing, and I'll dance even more strangely than this to give glory to God. So don't ever look down on somebody else's worship if they're worshiping in spirit and in truth. I don't care. You know, we don't have the only way to worship. Our form is not the only right way or anything. So let's rejoice in all true worship Christians worship in any place if they're worshiping the true Jesus by the true gospel and with the word. But now let's take a look at our service and see how it is set up. I think a really blessed way, and how I've even enhanced it slightly to make it even more so, I think, with Jesus, the gospel, and the word everywhere. That's what we're going to come together to approach God for. Check it out. We're going to go through the bulletin. That'll be the conclusion of the sermon. So when we get to the end of the book, we'll get to the end of the sermon. We start out with an entrance hymn. A mighty fortress is our God. I want to ask you, is that about Jesus, the gospel, in accordance with the word? What do we hear here? We're in big trouble. Satan is a terrible enemy. He's going to destroy us, and nobody can stand against him. Nobody has the power to do so. On earth is not his equal. Then who enters in verse 2? Jesus, the only one. Our Savior, mighty Lord, God's only Son adored. He holds the field victorious. It's Jesus. And the gospel we're singing in accordance with his word. God's word forever shall abide, etc. The kingdom's ours forever. And as a side note, I usually choose traditional hymns for Sunday. Not always. During communion it's a little different. But I like hymns that are in the traditional march, because we're soldiers fighting the good fight of the faith. And if you can picture the United States Marines marching confidently into battle for victory, a mighty fortress is our God, and other such hymns, that's the song for us I give you on Sunday, because we are victorious through Christ. Then we have the invocation. I call upon the name of the Lord at the beginning of the service. Is that Jesus in the gospel? Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10, Joel 2, and Genesis 4. At that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord, for his name is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. There you go. Again, I'm feeding you, or God is, with Jesus, the gospel, his word, to refresh you. God runs to embrace you. Then we have, the confession. Are we coming with the right heart and attitude there? We're not coming with self-righteous pride, but, I'm a tax collector to God. God, I beat upon my breast. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And we confess with the words of Scripture, from 1 John 1, and then Psalm 51, David's own words. Forgive me, O Lord, cleanse me, and I shall be clean. And what does God do? Does God receive such? When we do that, God runs from heaven, embraces the prodigal son, says, yes, I put the robe of righteousness on you. I forgive you. I wash you again in the blood of my son. Let's rejoice together and make merry, for you were dead and you're alive. Hooray. This is joyful relationship, friends. Then God says, I'm going to feed you now with Psalm 33. The theme of the day is always carried out in each of the hymns and the scriptures. Then we have the Kyrie, if you're following along here. That goes back to the 5th century. Christians have been doing that for 1,600 years. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
What are we doing there? We're once again calling out, in joyful relationship, God have mercy upon us. Help us, help our congregation, help the word, help save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. How does God respond to us? Worship isn't just us to God. It's God running and saying, yes, I'll help you. I'll defend you. I'll keep you. I'll strengthen you. Then we have a hymn of praise. Oh, thank you, God, for doing that. It's back and forth. And what do we say? Glory to God in the highest. Peace to us people on earth. It's the words of the
gospel
and the angels at Jesus' birth. And then we sing of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, the gospel, the word, again. Then we offer a prayer to God in accordance with the theme of the day. And then God comes and feeds you. Let me strengthen you with my word now, my people. I'll give you the Old Testament. I'll give you the New Testament. I'll give you the gospel, where you're going to hear Jesus again. And then we jump over, and all these I put in here, scripture verses, references, everything in here. It says Bible, Bible, Bible. Scripture, scripture, scripture. Then we sing, Oh Worship the King. Can you picture a U.S. Marine singing that on the way to war? Oh worship the King, oh glorious above, etc. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. That's the song of a warrior. You're warriors. That's what we're doing here. And God loves it because he's with his people as king. Then he feeds us with the message, which we're doing now, the sermon, because that is, you know, faith comes from what is heard. What is heard comes by the preaching of Christ, Romans 10. So you see, this is not just what we do to God. It's God coming to you constantly to embrace you, make you strong, to forgive your sins, to refresh you, to restore your strength, to lift you up, to make you strong on your journey to heaven. To be with you is what this is all about. Worship is two ways. God is with us as we worship him. Then we respond to him with our offering. Now, for years and years, I used to put the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you put the creed here. I always found that the creed kind of, unfortunately, made people forget the sermon. So what I did is I moved the creed later, and in this part, I just have some quiet music while we make our offerings to God of our finances. That way you can sit there and let the word sink into you a little deeper and feel God's strengthening through that word. Then we offer up our offerings to God with David's prayer, 1 Chronicles 29. All things come from you, O God, and of what you've first given to us do we give to you. Then we offer our prayers to God, which God delightfully hears and answers mightily, and we conclude that we know God, you can do it far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, Ephesians chapter 3. And God says, you better believe it. Yes, I do. Watch my answers come. Then we have the Apostles' Creed, which goes back to about 100 A.D. Nicene Creed would be to about 325 A.D. And I put scriptures here. Everything in there is the Word of God. I give you the references. Then we get to something else where God really comes even more marvelously to meet you in the Lord's Supper with his own body and blood. What do we do here? Thanks and praise to you for the glorious resurrection of Jesus. What do we got? Jesus, the gospel, in accordance with the word again. We respond with the Sanctus, which is the words of the cherubim. Yeah, the living creatures around God's throne. Holy, holy, holy God of power and might. This is what the cherubim sing around God's throne. We're singing their words. And then we also thank God again for giving his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Surely, does that sound like the gospel to you? John 3:16? Do you see how the service here is set up that everything we do is Jesus, the gospel, the word. Jesus, the gospel, the word. Because that's what we need. One thing's needful. That's what builds us up. We draw near to God through that. God draws near to us, and we're embracing him because you're his sons. He loves you, and he wants to strengthen you in the joy of the Lord to be your strength. Then we give him our prayer, right in accordance with Jesus' words, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, quoted straight, Jesus verbatim, the words of institution for the Lord's Supper, quoted by us, of Jesus verbatim, just giving his words, the passing of the peace. It's from John 20. Peace of the Lord be with you always. That's what Jesus said the first moment he was raised and saw the disciples. So we also say that to him and to each other, I mean. And then we receive the Lord's Supper. You think God meets us there? Is this worship?
Yes.
God says, I'm going to meet you in this table with my own body and blood, the presence with the bread and the wine. I'm going to come and embrace you. And what does he do? It's strengthening us in the covenant that we have with him. Take and drink this, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. It's my blood poured out for you. That is, again, be strong, my children. I'm loving you, my children. Be strengthened for your journey, my children. On our way to the promised land, I'm leading you to victory. Then we sing the music during the Lord's Supper. Then we At the end, give God a praise. Oh, Jesus, blessed Lord, my praise. He's bestowed on me your body and your blood. Hooray, God! And God says, yes, hooray, I love you too. And then we pray to him, oh God, we give thanks to you, refreshed us, now strengthen us, because we're going out into the world. And we're going out into battle, but we're going out to proclaim your name, to love our neighbors, and to do good to the glory of Jesus. And God says, amen, absolutely, let me give you a final blessing. In this case, it was 2 Corinthians 13, straight out of the Bible. Once again, the word, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, be with you always. Then we conclude this service with, in this case, praise to the Lord the Almighty. Can you picture a U.S. Marine singing that one? Praise to the Lord the Almighty, etc. Watch out, enemy. Here we come. The Lord is before us. He's leading us to victory. So that's why we put together the service the way we do. Do you have to worship this way? No, there's all kinds of ways. We are in freedom as Christians. You can worship in a million different ways, provided it's this way, Jesus, the gospel, and the word. But I love this, the way we do it, because it is Jesus, the gospel, and the word on every page, and every sentence, and every line for your strengthening. And just know this, it is about a joyful relationship with our God who has saved us. He loves you, and Jesus has saved you, and he comes to embrace you, and in worship is embracing him and us meeting together in a joyful relationship. And we look forward to that day when all Christians, no matter the ways they've worshiped style-wise, when we shall all his servants shall worship him. For we're going to see his face, says Revelation 22, and he's going to be our light. And we're going to worship him and reign with him forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa.